Welcome to the Too Posh Podcast.
I'm Gabrielle. I am a former mafia princess and the owner of our Too Posh Boutique. And I'm here with my beautiful daughter, Marcella.
I'm Marcella. I am a dancer, choreographer, model, and the designer for Too Posh. And I cannot wait to talk to Whitley,
who is my son's adorable girlfriend.
Hi, I'm Whitley. I like to create things. I'm kind of a nerd. Kind of a nerd, and I like to make people smile.
What will they say next? You're listening to the Too Posh Podcast.
Everyone, welcome to our Too Posh Podcast. I'm here with my beautiful co-hosts, Marcella.
Hello.
And Whitley.
Hi.
And our special guest, Billy the Kid.
Hello.
Thank you for being back with us.
Thank you. I feel like I should thank you guys. I got a nice adult beverage surrounded by ladies.
Do you like being interviewed? Do you like it the other way?
It's cool. It's weird.
It's weird.
But it's super fun. Yeah, yeah. Usually it's like, you know, I've only done a few, like, usually it's like papers or an article. So I just give them my answers. And so this is fun. It's fun.
Different.
I think it's awesome that you took the time to come on.
Thank you so much. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Like, we're very, very grateful.
You guys are really good at this, by the way.
Thank you. We take any advice you have for us.
I've been doing my whole life. I've done this. And apparently you can do it in a matter of no time because you guys are already doing it. It's like making me re-question my whole life.
No, I don't think so. I actually wonder, this is actually one of my questions for you, how you have new material every day. How do you do this? How do you come up? I mean, how many hours a day do you do radio?
So I do a live show every morning for 4 hours.
Then 5 days a week?
Yeah, 5 days a week. So I'll do that show every day for 4 hours. And then I do another show that goes to like 30, 40 radio stations every day, but I pre-record it in like pieces. So it's a 4 hour show, but I'm not there the 4 hours, like the entire 4 hours. So I'll pre-record it in just like increments and send it off. And then they put it together. And then I do another show on Kiss live, you know, or semi-live every day from 3 to 7 p.m. for afternoons in Dallas. So, you know, it's
5 days a week.
It's
a lot of content. I mean,
so it's a lot. Yeah.
What you do is not, and we're not doing that. That's not even close.
Well, I mean, the good news is I've been doing it for a long time, so it makes it easy. But not easy. It makes it easier. You get used to it. But, you know, also all that content, I'm really preparing for like one show because at the end of the day, I can use it for all the different shows that I do. Yeah. So, you know, by the third show I'm doing that day, I'm like, okay, I know what I'm doing. I'd already done it twice. So it's like, you know, a rehearsal
but
almost.
Still every day. Like that.
It's still a lot. It's like it's a lot.
We do 2 hours a week and it's so much.
Exhausting.
Like, it's so much like.
Well, you guys don't play music either. So, I get a little break. I can play a song and be like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to talk about. Play a song, figure it out in a minute. But yeah, I mean, so I do plan it every day, you know, but it's almost like once you start doing it for, like, I've been doing this for so long, almost 20 years, you never stop.
Yeah.
So you're just constantly taking notes on like, oh, you know, you see something out at the grocery store, like, I got to talk about this crazy lady tomorrow or whatever. So you just start to put down notes
just
and whatever.
All day
it's
what,
just
what
a
lot.
Yeah, it's just life.
Life.
Yeah, my son said this, so I got to mention this tomorrow or this, you know, whatever the case may be or, you know, like something's happening in the news or pop culture. And that's another thing, too. This format for me is easier to do because the pop culture is always changing. It's always, you have new content every day when you wake up. But where if you were doing like classic rock or something, I wouldn't know what the hell to talk about every day.
Right.
So
that is.
But you have
so
content
cool.
for that, and then all your social media stuff. Like you're good at like constantly posting.
I mean, a lot of that is just being an idiot, like just being stupid, and you know, start filming it. But you know, we genuinely have fun every day, so that makes it a lot easier. You know, if I wasn't having fun, I wouldn't know what to do because I've been in those positions in those jobs on certain stations.
Yeah.
Where you're not having fun, and you're like, man. This sucks.
That does
going
exist.
Through the paces.
Yes.
You don't have fun? Like, what do they do?
You know, certain stations in certain, like that I've been on before or whatever, certain situations, you know, it's like almost like, you know, if you're doing this and like you guys do this, if somebody walks in the room and they have bad energy, it changes your whole vibe.
Everything.
You know? I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk in the microphone anymore.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with me. If it's a bad boss or something, or if he's up my ass about things, I don't even want to be there.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't even want to do this anymore. And then you just shut down. Then you're not creative. And I'm done, you know? So
such a big thing.
Yeah.
It is huge. Since you mentioned You can play a song.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. I'm scared about this one.
Well, you know, last week we had on a guy that's a musician, and he brought his guitar and he played for us, and it was really, really cool. So we thought we could play you a song and you could sing it for us.
He's like, I probably couldn't even do the lyrics, all of it. Well, that's amazing.
That's all right. They're all right.
Yeah, Steven Tyler. Were you blacked out?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I forgot. I mean, I didn't forget about it, but I don't look at myself as a rapper anymore. Like,
when was that?
God, I made the song, this song, Country Girl or whatever, and like, I probably wrote it in like 2000. So I used to work for Kid Rock when I was like 14.
You did not.
Yeah, when I was real young.
Stop, I love him.
You can hear that, influence in the song.
Because I wrote that song for him.
Wow.
Like, I really wanted to write the song for him. So I wrote the song for him like as a demo, and I was on it because that's what you do. You'll write a song, give it to an artist, be like, man, do you want this? I'm on it, but it could be your song. So he's like, it's cool, man, but it's like a little, I'm going a different direction. I'm not really rapping that much anymore. And I was like, oh. He's like, you should put that out. He's like, it's actually pretty good. And I was like, I don't know about that. So I met this guy that was like managing Creed or something at the time, some rant. And he was amazing. He was like, yeah, man, I can get this played. And he got it played on this radio station in Florida. And then it started taking off.
It was top what? Top 10?
I was like it was like top 15 in the country.
So funny.
Yeah. Which is so funny to think about. I signed a record deal and like I had labels like battling over me.
I could not find a music video for this song.
They took it down.
Why? Yeah,
Columbia, I don't know what Columbia wanted to, for whatever reason, they sent like a cease and desist.
No.
Which I don't even know why they care. And I can't find a copy of it because I hated the video, to be honest. I hated it.
But why did they take it down?
They took it down because it was, I think somebody else put it up that they didn't own the rights. So they'll automatically have their legal department flag it.
Yeah.
So they were just flagging it to the point where people never put it back up. And I don't have a copy. I can't remember what
that's
I did with
sad.
It.
Sad.
There's quite a few fan-made videos.
Yeah.
Well, I know, I saw them. I think they're kind of funny and awesome, actually. But,
Spider, do you have it?
I do. I'll play that now.
Oh, man.
Do you listen to this often?
Never in my life.
You haven't heard it?
No. This is the time.
God. You're too young. Wow.
Go, Billy.
I literally don't know if I could say it.
I don't know. Remember?
The last time I performed, it was a couple months ago.
You did?
That was the first time in like 10 years.
Are you impressed?
Yeah. I think it's so funny.
So
it's so funny to hear. Like, we recorded it right up the street with a couple guys named Playing Skills who are from here, won Grammys now.
Wow. The production is really good.
Yeah, it was, man. I mean, they were ahead of their time.
You just need the chorus.
Yeah. I wrote it when I moved from Detroit to here, and I met like all these girls who were from the country. Like, this is amazing.
So funny.
I genuinely don't know if I know the lyrics right now. Like, I'm trying to think of the second verse right now. And acoustic guitars and Kenny Chesney and country bars and Cadillac. I almost said the third verse. I don't even know it. Concrete kid on a country date. How embarrassing.
It's so great.
I need another drink. No, it was a lot of fun, though. It was a good time.
I bet.
It has such a cool beat.
It gets stuck in your head.
I never thought this would be like top 15 in the country, though. I mean,
that's
it was fun. Like, I toured and did all these like crazy things. And
maybe we're bringing it back.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back.
Like, Rego's up on iTunes.
I know. Can you imagine?
I've definitely played this at a sports bar before.
Awesome. Oh, nice. I did it drunk one time doing karaoke, like five.
Oh, maybe. My gosh.
People were like, you sound like that guy. I was like, yeah, that's what they say. Walked off.
My song.
Wow.
You like it?
I'm going to be hammered after this. Cause this is
funny. A country girl don't understand thugging. A country girl track doesn't be a chugging. A country girl pigtails and carefree. No direct, it's just channel
Wow. That was literally the demo version that we did too. Like, I just did it like whatever. And then when they started playing it, I was like, well, let's see what happens. And then another station played it, and another station.
So you didn't redo it. This is just
I redid it a little bit, but not a ton, you know? Yeah. Like, I didn't do a ton of stuff to it. Because I was so young, and I just remember going, they want to sign me for a record deal off of this. I felt like I've done so much better, like so many better songs in my life, you know? And I was like songwriting for other artists and bands, and I was like really into hip-hop back in the day. Like really, you know, when I grew up in Detroit, and everybody was into hip hop. It wasn't just like, you know, so I had so many other things that I felt like, and I had a little following in Detroit, you know, yeah, where I was doing shows and doing all the battle rapping and stuff like that. And, you know, it's funny to think about now because I'm so old and I'm like, what? I feel like I'm so old, but
I know.
I feel like it sometimes because I think I've just done a lot of random stuff. So I was always into it. Like, I love the movement. And then, you know, now I look back and I think about the times that, like, all the artists that I was around, and I was like, oh my God, like, you know, I mean, Eminem and Kid Rock and all these other guys, Esham and ICP and all these Detroit guys who are huge now that would be around, like, all the time. I would be DJing and for them.
That's
freestyling.
So cool.
You know?
Yeah, that was cool.
So it was definitely an experience, and cool. It's cool to do. Like, you kind of like living out a weird dream, and then I went back to normal life. I was like, oh, okay, that was fun. That was awesome.
I did that.
Well, your life is not exactly normal.
Not normal, but it was really not normal then. Because, I mean, I went from, like, you know, I mean, I was on the radio and doing that stuff to, like, living on the road and being on tour for 2 years and
that's crazy.
Doing shows all across the country and all over the world and doing random stuff, and it felt like a blur. You're just like, I mean, I signed a record deal and I was like, what? Like, you know, I was walking into Sony signing a deal going, this can't be real life.
That's so cool.
That is cool. Yeah,
it was cool. And I always said when I was a kid I'd never go to New York. I know all my friends would drive there for New Year's Eve or whatever, and I'm like, I'm never gonna go unless I'm signing a record deal. And I'm like, you're an idiot, bye. And then the first time I ever went to New York was signing a record deal.
Oh,
so,
cool.
So, yeah, it was fun.
I love New York.
Yeah, it's cool.
I want to go there. The fashion. We need to go.
I know. So, I want to back up a little bit. Like, how did you grow up? Where were you born? How did you get into all this? Like, tell me a little bit about your family, parents.
So, I grew up in Detroit, and then I went to my mom's a single mom. My dad wasn't really around that much. He kind of was, kind of wasn't. Like, he was never around. But when he was around, he was not really around because he was an alcoholic, and, mm-hmm, you know, so it was something that I never really knew that, I guess, until I got older, because then my mom would never really say anything bad about him. She'd never really say anything. If he came around, that's your dad, respect your dad.
But they weren't together?
No, they weren't together. Okay. So I never really remember them together. She left him because he was just had too many issues. And so he would come around every once in a while. And but it was funny because I never really looked at him as a dad. I was just being like, okay.
Yeah.
Dad. You know, I'd call him dad, but it really didn't feel like it. And but my mom would never say any, you know, she left me come to my own conclusions, which I did quick,
mm-hmm,
you know, when I was like 15, 16, I'm like, ah, I get it. And he passed away when I was like 19, you know, and I think that's part of the reason why I'm probably so active and try to be a good dad, because to me, I watched him regret it because he was an alcoholic for so long. And the doctors would be like, if you keep drinking, you're going to die.
Yeah.
If you don't stop, you're going to die. And he would just keep drinking. Mm-hmm. Well, then he stopped the last couple of years and he wanted to really be active and engaged and, like, you know.
Oh, man.
And it was too late.
Yeah. Like, you know?
And I just remember him living, like, the last couple of years, and I feel like just misery. I remember the last time I saw him, he was just, like, sober, hated life, just, like, you know. He was living in his own world of his own punishment after all
decisions.
The years, and is doing his own thing, and it was too late. And I just remember thinking, I never want to be that guy that wasn't there and engaged and regret anything like that whatsoever. So, you know, but I'm not saying people have their flaws, and I don't, you know, when he passed, I was like, man, I don't have any ill will. It was just like, I didn't see that happen to anybody.
But, yeah. You know? Your mom, just on record, I love your mom so much.
She's awesome, yeah. She's
your mom and I connected.
You guys talk,
she loves
go
you
to
guys.
Lunch?
Like, yeah. No, my mom loves you guys. So she was talking about, my mom, I moved down here from Detroit in probably 2003 or 2004. When I actually, after I signed the record deal and I had enough money to move her down. But she was living, you know, in Detroit in kind of like a bad house in a bad situation. I was like, just get out of there.
Yeah.
So she lives in Arlington and, you know, but she's
it's so sad because we're so far away from each other. We had dinner one time and then we were going to do it again. And then we moved and we had all this stuff happen.
Yeah, life happens. I know.
Our dance studio happened. So I didn't have any time for anything.
I know.
So
she lives far away too. So, I mean, even for me, it's like.
It's hard.
Yeah.
But I adore her. She has such a sweet spirit and heart.
So she always randomly brings you guys up.
She does.
Like, oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, she loves you guys.
I need to get together with her. I have to make an effort.
She was an awesome mom. Still is, but yeah.
Yeah. That's so special. I think it's awesome.
Oh, it is,
especially I mean, she was kind of a single mom, right?
Yeah, so. No, she always was. I mean, I would definitely not be here if it wasn't for her because I mean, even thinking about it the other day, I was talking about it somewhere else, but you know, I'm lucky that I'm pretty successful at what I do, but there's no way because I think I wanted to be a DJ back in the day and I would always go up and look at these turntables as a kid and be like, man, I want those turntables. But it was like $3,000. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, I'll never get it. And when I was like 14, my mom, and it's all I obsess with. And she was like, got her income tax check back and she's like, let's go get them.
Aww.
And I was like, I almost felt guilty. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. She's like, just go. And I was like, okay. So I took it and it didn't take me that long to figure it out and go. But that changed my life because I was 15 years old and all of a sudden I knew exactly what I wanted to do.
That's awesome.
I wouldn't be doing it if, you know, here because I started off as a DJ and then on the radio, but there was no way I'd be here if that wasn't the case. So
that's really amazing.
For her, yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That's sweet.
So then when you came here, what was your first job here? In Dallas.
So I was working for Disney, a station owned by Disney in Detroit, and I was an intern. But I started working on the air and they were like, you know, they liked what I did and they were like, this kid, we're not even paying this kid. And I just wanted to be there. I didn't care what, I just wanted to get my foot in the door. And I started getting a decent amount of following and whatever. And I had a guy call me on the request line on a Sunday in Detroit on that station. It was a big station. And he was like, who the hell are you? And I was like, oh, I'm so naive. I'm like, oh, I'm Billy, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, call me when you get off the air. And I was like, who are you? He's like, Jerry Clifton. And at the time, I was like, who? And? But he was like, just trust me, call me. And I called my other friend who has been doing it for a while, my kind of like my mentor. And I was like, hey, who's this guy? He's like, he didn't call you. I'm like, yeah, he did. And he was a big consultant in radio. And he was in town looking to compete against the station I was on. So he was going to flip a radio station. Mm-hmm. Like he was going to take another radio station that did like opera and attack us flip it to a top 40 station, which all these radio nerds, you know, like they get into that. I'm like, whatever. So he called me and he heard me. And then he was like, I have Las Vegas, Miami, Honolulu, Dallas, or Oklahoma City. I want to hire you. Where do you want to go? And I was like, what?
Gave you the option?
Yeah. He's like, where do you want to go? And I was like, which one's the biggest? He's like, Dallas. I was like, let's go.
Wow.
And I got my car and he's like, well, usually you interview and you want to fly down first. I was like, oh yeah. I didn't know. I was so like new. I was like, yeah, nah, let's just start. I didn't know how to negotiate. I didn't know anything. So I came down here and I was on a station called 100.3 at the time. It was Hot 100.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, way
Hot
back.
Hot 100. I was like, yeah. When I was in eighth grade.
Yeah. Wow, I'm old. No, but it was. And, you know, I started working there and we were going against KISS, you know, the station I'm on now. But, you know, my goal was to, like, beat them. You know, like, I was, like, young, and they were like, beat the monster station. Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
And you have no money, and you have no, you can't do anything promotions. Oh. And I was, like, thank God, so young and naive that because now if you put me in that position, I'd be like, oh, my God. But when you're that young and you're just like,
no fear. Fearless.
Whatever.
Yeah.
F these guys, let's do it. You know, and so I just worked and worked, and before you know it, like I started beating the guy in the ratings at night.
Really?
On KISS, and then KISS called me and was like, come work for us. And I was like, screw you. And they were like, I don't know if you want to say that. I was like, no, screw you guys, I'm beat you, blah, blah, blah. And then the station flipped formats. Oh. And they were like, I got fired like on the phone.
What?
And
like,
oh, no.
Yeah, like I left the radio station one night. I left 100.3, Hot 100 and whatever, and they were like, can you come back real quick? And it was like midnight. I'm like, no, I got a club gig or whatever. And they're like, come back. I'm like, no. I'm like, are you about to fire me? because I could just feel it. Like, something was weird. Yeah. And they wouldn't renegotiate my contract. And I was like, he's like, well, we're going to go another direction tomorrow. I'm like,
tomorrow?
What? Tomorrow.
God. Yeah. So he's like, can you come in at 8 a.m.? I was like, no, you just fired me. I didn't come in at 8 a.m. when I worked for you.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, then, you know, thankfully, I had a good relationship with the people at KISS, and the next morning I was already at KISS and
what?
Wow.
Basically rehired, but you know, there's like contracts and you can't work for a while, so I had to sit out and not work. And
that's not really fair when you get fired.
I know. Yeah. Like, yeah, you get fired, and then, but they pay you. Oh, so as long as they pay you, so they'll pay you to like shut up and leave for 3 months.
Okay.
Okay.
And then that's you can go work for another station. So it was kind of like a long, but yeah. I only ended up doing it for a month and then started working, and then they sued me and then they dropped the lawsuit, and I was like, whatever.
Oh, wow.
And then I did KISS since, I've been on since 2004 on KISS. Wow.
And so then when you were here, you started doing club work, like you said, and yeah, I'm clubs. Sure that's how you met Marcella.
Yeah.
That is.
We can, I cannot. Is that what's the...
We talked about it the other day, and I think it was Tiki Bob's or something in or one of the clubs.
One of them.
But I do remember, like, I remember Purgatory where I...
I had never been there, though. I'd never
been. But I have a picture of us there.
At Purgatory?
Yes.
No, our picture is from... oh, my God. It's like the big vault.
okay, you're right. Not the bank.
Yes, but what was clear?
It was in an old bank, and it was a vault, and that was a VIP room.
Yeah, and that was me and you.
Which was cool.
It was really cool.
And my buddy who passed away. Yes. Yeah, so I remember that picture because I remember us taking it not too long after that.
Yeah, and you had your mohawk.
Yeah, I'd like to forget that.
What? It was so cool then.
So weird. But yeah, it was cool then, maybe. I don't even know it was cool then. I just did my own thing or whatever.
With the red in it, right?
Maybe. It was like red, blue, random stuff. I would dye it. I just didn't care. It was random. And
I'll show you the picture. It's on my phone. I still have it. Yeah.
I'd rather not.
You look good.
It was fun. It was good time. Yeah.
But it's funny because she would always tell me, oh, my friend Billy the Kid is a DJ. Always talk about you.
I've known her forever. Yeah.
And then as fate had it, Billy actually married one of my former best friend's daughter. Mm-hmm. And you guys were married
I just did that so I could be around you guys. That was, we were married for a couple of years or whatever, and that's Ryder's mom.
Ryder.
And you just saw a picture of Ryder.
He's so cute.
He's agree with you on that. He's a good kid, but it is such a small world.
I mean,
because it's not like we kept in touch all the time, and then that happened. It was like, and then I'd see you guys around, which is cool.
And we would always do Thanksgiving together, and then next thing I know, you're like,
I was gone.
Hi, Billy. You were at Thanksgiving the first time.
Yeah, and then I was gone. Then I was gone.
But these are people that we have known since I was little. So that's even more crazy.
I know.
I was three.
It is. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I've known her since I was little.
I knew it was a long time, but I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? That's so random.
I know. Yeah, it was. Because we would spend the holidays together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How funny.
So, and I remember that, and we hadn't known you. So all I know is that when you came through that door, you were the sweetest, kindest human I've ever seen with children.
Oh.
Like the way, I mean, you didn't have your own yet. And
yeah.
The kids that came over, including Jolie, you were just like.
Oh, she's adorable.
Playing with them.
I can't believe she's 14 now.
I mean, it's just crazy.
I mean, I've always loved kids, so it's
me
so.
Too.
I tend to like, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Here's the problem, though, as I realized this when I like, because I'm all tattooed or whatever. And one time I was at the park and they were playing Duck, Duck, Goose with the kids. And me chasing a little kid around a playground. The parents will run over and be like, is everything okay? I'm like, we're playing Duck, Duck, Goose.
They're like, yeah.
Yeah, you chasing a kid. They're like, that's so cute. Me, it's like 911. But I do. I've always loved kids. And it's like, it's being a dad is the best thing
I can tell. You're so sweet with him.
It's a good time.
Like the game you guys just played, that looked disgusting.
Oh, yeah. He played a game where he wanted to take this prize wheel that I had for actually for my radio show. We're going to do something stupid. And then we'd like put all these different food items on it, and then we'd
like
spin
gross.
It. Yeah, like green beans
with
or icing for cake icing, and then whatever that landed on the two things.
You have to mix it?
You'd mix it.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was a fun game for him, and it made me almost throw up. It's like that Bean Boozled game or whatever.
Yes. Like throw up, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's so nasty.
And you do it.
I do
it. You play along with it.
They're so cute.
It's such a cute. Like an active, you know, like you were so playing sweet. Like war with him in the house. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's so sweet.
I'm genuinely a kid at heart, too, so it's kind of fun.
That
to
helps.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Like, it's such a good excuse to buy video games and stuff, you know. Like,
you're like, actually, we're playing for my son.
Yeah, I'll be like, we really, really want the Xbox, so let's look at it. But I'm like, yes, inside.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, cool, we'll do it. Fine, Ryder, fine.
That's
but
so sweet.
It's fun. We have a good time together.
Now, tell me a little bit mm-hmm. how you met Kid Craddock.
I met Kid. Actually, I met Kid, and I rarely ever talk about this because we weren't supposed to be friends because we were enemies on the radio.
Oh,
we
were.
And when I was on 100.3, the program director there, which is like the boss man, when I first got there, would tell me to talk bad about Kid. He'd be like, hey, you know, they'll do that sometimes in this business. It's stupid, but especially back in the day, they'll be like, you know, we want them to make them seem like they're not cool. So like say bad things or say he's old and out of touch. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't really want to do that. Like, I always feel like if you have to do that, you're probably not the most talented guy because you're mm-hmm. taking the weak route out.
Right.
So I wouldn't. And, you know, for a while, that was a problem. Like, from that boss at the time, he was like, if I tell you to say something or do something, you do it, which he's right. But, you know, it was also like a big stand. That was like the one thing in my career. I'm like, I don't really feel like, especially on Kid, because I did respect him. And even though he was someone I worked against, I was like, I don't feel like doing that. And I also realized from the standpoint of Dallas and Fort Worth when I was first getting to know the city years ago is when you were attacking Kid, you were attacking Dallas.
For sure.
Uh-oh.
You weren't attacking so just, popular. You know what I mean? He was such a massive figure that it was like, who's going to do, I mean, it makes me look petty.
Yeah.
So I never would do it. And then one day I was at the radio station 100.3 at the time, and a guy knocked on my door. Which is like this guy, and he answered the door. I had my producer answer. Actually, I had Pooh answer the door.
Oh, you've worked with Pooh that long?
Yeah, I've worked with Pooh for almost 20 years.
Oh, no my gosh.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He's my producer and has been forever.
What?
It's been a long time. So I sent him to the door because I'm like, well, I don't want to die if somebody comes. It's like, Pooh, go.
You go.
See what happens, buddy. Good luck. But he went, and it was this guy that Kid had sent over to talk to me because he was too nervous to talk to me on the phone because he thought I'd try to record him, you know, or say something or try to trap him into saying something or play what he had to say on the air. So he wanted to hire me and he was like, come work for my show. So he sent this guy over, hey, the kid wants to talk to you about hiring you. And I was like, what? Why are you here? Why don't you just call me or email me?
Yeah.
He's not going to do that because he doesn't want to be, he's smart, you know?
Yeah.
So eventually I said no. I was like, no, I don't, I'm good. Like, I hated Kiss. Like, I was like, I hated it. I wanted to beat you guys.
Yeah.
And then I really learned to respect. I always respected him, but eventually when we worked together, it was like he became instantly, I mean, nothing happened to Kiss if he didn't approve. So he wasn't the boss per se, but if he didn't want somebody hired, they weren't going to get hired.
Wow.
If he wanted somebody hired, they were going to get hired. So he approved of me and kind of brought me in under his wing and taught me, I mean, everything. I mean, a lot of stuff that I know and I do now. I mean, I think probably one every day, probably once a show, I probably go, what would Kid do? You know, like all the time. So, yeah, he was someone that taught me everything. And I would go to his brainstorming meetings with him for his show and think, you know, I mean, so we became really close friends. And, you know, that's why it's always been so tough since he passed, because it was like sudden and unexpected and everything you don't know how to deal with. You're just like, what?
Yeah.
I want to read what you posted. You said, if you would have told me 24 hours ago that I would have to go on the radio to announce that Kid Craddock has passed away, I would have called you crazy. I can't even process what is going on. No words can explain how I feel. I'm blessed to have known Kid, worked with him, and to have been able to call him a friend. He taught me, inspired me, motivated me, and more importantly, showed me how to use this platform to help people.
And he did. He did. And I remember that because it was tough because I wasn't even supposed to be at work that day. And they called me and they said, hey, come to the station. And my boss, who is a really good guy that's still there, And we were really close. All of us are really close. And he was like, you need to come up to the station. And I was like, dude, no. I was like, it's Saturday or whatever it was.
Calling you to go to the station.
I was like, I'm not going to do that. And he's like, no, you need to come. And I was like, is everything cool? He's like, I'll tell you when you get here. And I knew right away, like, something was dramatically wrong. But I never expected that that would be it. So I raced, you know, I went up there. And I remember walking in. And I remember when I opened the door and I saw, like, you know, all of our big bosses and, you know, people on from his staff. I just, oh, man, my heart sunk. And they were like, told me the kid had passed. And it was almost like I was in shock. I just didn't even. I was like, what? And they said, you got to read this on the air. So they wanted me to announce it.
Oh, man.
So I just remember I still work in the same studio, but they handed me the piece of paper that they want me to read. And I thought to myself, like, I can't read this. Like, I'm not going to be able to read it. You know, whatever. I don't want to read a piece of paper about someone who, you know, but they were trying to be nice. They just mm-hmm. didn't, they prepared something in case I couldn't. And really, I couldn't. Like, there was no, there was no way that I was ever going to be able to say or do anything like that was going to be composed. So I did my best, but it was the hardest thing I've ever done on the radio.
Yeah, Networks and the Kid Craddock in the Morning crew are heartbroken over the loss of our dear friend and leader, Kid. He devoted his life to making people smile every single morning. And for 21 years, his foundation has been dedicated to bringing joy to thousands of chronically and terminally ill children. Kid passed away today. Kid passed away today in New Orleans at a golf tournament organized to raise money for his beloved Kids Kids charity. He died doing what he loved, and his final day was spent selflessly focused on those special children that meant the world to him, and we're going to miss him greatly.
Statement that they gave me, I want to make sure the facts are out there and what's going on is a little bit more clear. Because I'll be honest, it was really, really, really hard for me to read a couple minutes ago. And I think all of us here at KISS, Yeah Networks, Kid Craddock and the Morning Crew, were absolutely heartbroken over the loss of our dear friend, not just a friend, a leader. And Kid devoted his entire life to making people smile every morning. And for 21 years, his foundation has been dedicated to bringing joy to thousands of chronically and terminally ill children and changing their lives. The kid passed away today in New Orleans, doing what he loved. He was at a golf tournament organized to raise money for Kids Kids. And his final day, it was spent selflessly focused on those special children that meant the world to him. And I know that from personal experience, from seeing it, from being on the Kids Kids trip, to knowing how much hard work he dedicated to that. It wasn't work. It was a passion, and it truly brought him joy, and it changed so many people's lives. if I break down, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sorry. This is by far the hardest thing I've ever had to say or announce on the radio, and not just the hardest, the worst. To be honest with you, we lost an incredible man today. And, you know, and it's not just about, and I say man because it's not just about a coworker. It's not just about a personality or a morning show. To us, it's family. He was a mentor, a leader, not just a coworker. I've worked with him for over 10 years now, and Cruz is in the studio with me right now. And I'll tell you what, right now, I know what he'd want us to do. He'd probably be yelling at me right now, going, come on, get it together, Billy.
Get your life together.
Right, but, you know, I know what I want to do right now, and I think what I want to do is celebrate his life and open up the phone lines at 214 or 817-787-1061 and just break the format and talk about Kid and maybe how he changed your life, because it's pretty amazing what he did in his career here. And His career was incredible. Professionally, maybe the best to ever do it, honestly. But he did so much off the air, and he's changed so many people's life, from kids' kids to Christmas wishes.
And every personality that does what we do for a living,
yeah.
I mean, has a little bit of Kid Craddock in them, and that push, that drive. I mean, he, like you said, the mentor.
For years, you know, here, I looked up to him. I mean, he was the guy I looked at and listened to his show and just went, wow. I mean, professionally, is a whole other world. He was absolutely the best. I'm just going to open him up, though, and I just want to talk about him.
And let's do it.
Remember him in the best way possible, with the most important people to him, and that was you. You listening, he dedicated his entire life to.
30 years.
Easily, yeah. And this is the only morning show Kiss has ever had.
Ever.
And so not just to me, it's family. To you, it's family, too. I mean, just like you, I woke up every morning, I turned on the radio, and he was a part of my life.
You really feel like he's a part of the family, literally.
Absolutely.
So, I feel like I know him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is just, I'm in shock. So call up, share a memory or two, whatever you want. We're going to turn it over to you now.
So you actually were the person to announce it?
Yeah.
How did he pass away?
Well, there was multiple things, you know. At first, we thought there was heart issues. Then there turned out to be, you know, other issues involved and things that went beyond that. And it was, but at first, it was just like, you know, he had a heart attack, you know.
Yeah.
It was like.
Sudden.
But yeah, it was, nobody saw it coming. So,
right.
You know, I stayed on the air that night. I remember announcing it was night. And I remember going, what do you do now?
Right.
Like, okay, take your headphones off and go home.
Wait. Like,
I didn't know what to do, so I sat there for a minute after I did that, the break where I announced it, and I, you know, and actually people had already gotten the word out, because unfortunately Mark Cuban tweeted something he didn't mean to. You know, Mark had tweeted something like, what happened? And then he deleted it, like, oh my God, people didn't know. He didn't know, you know.
Right.
It was completely innocent. So some people knew him, you know, and I sat there and I was like, I guess I'm just going to stay here. You know, like, I thought, what do you do? I said, we feel like all the people who listen are like a family.
Yeah.
So I said, what do you do when you, like, someone passes in your family? You, like, get with your family.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I just opened the request lines and I sat there, and I remember from, like, that night, which it had to be 7 or 8 at night when I ended up, or maybe earlier, it's still all of kind of like a blur. And I know people have posted stuff on YouTube about it.
Really?
Of me doing but I've never listened, because it's like...
It's hard.
But I stayed until it was daylight the next day on the air, like, just talking to people, like, putting them on the air, talking about, like, good, just memories, whatever, and it was like a blur. It's like, still to this day, I think about it, and I'm just like, I don't know.
Crazy.
Like, I don't know what happened. You know, it's just almost like a blur what happened.
Yeah.
His saying, keep looking up. Because that's where it all is.
Yeah.
It's like, well, he said that all the time.
And I always think about that too. Yeah. Like, you know, it's tough to deal with, honestly, because, you know, it's when something's unexpected like that, and the few years of my life that was like, I didn't expect it. I was going through a lot with the divorce. I was, you know, I lost my best friend who got hit by a car. It was like 3 years. It was like back to back to back to back, you know, just in a matter of a couple of years.
Hard
so
things.
I was a mess.
Yeah.
A mess. But Kid's passing was so hard for everyone at the station. It was difficult.
And how long ago is that now?
Six years.
Oh, okay.
On the 27th of July.
Okay.
And I mean, I have been amazed that show is still going.
Yeah, I think, I think everybody, no one knew what to expect. What do you do? I mean,
right.
I give a lot of credit to that show, because when you lose your leader,
yeah,
what do you do?
Thankfully,
he taught them a lot to where they could pick it up and maintain and do pretty well. But I mean, I can't even imagine what they were thinking. I don't even know what I would have done. Like, I don't know.
So sad.
Yeah. It's really sad.
I just remember listening to it all the time, going to school
all the time,
because I had it in the morning
all the time.
Yeah,
And Kids Kids is still going strong.
Yeah, Kids Kids is still going
strong.
You
always do stuff for it.
It's close to my heart because I've been on, you know, the trips and watch the kids. And Kids Kids, we take chronically and terminally ill kids to Disney World, you know, and Disneyland, and just let them forget what they're going through, you know, and the cool part about that is everyone, the listeners make it happen. Like, they donate all the money and then we just execute. So you're not just taking a kid, you're taking their family.
Wow.
They get to take their brothers, sisters. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're going. And usually that, even if they had the money, they could, they might be able to do it, but they couldn't have doctors 24/7, nurses 20, and we bring that along.
Wow.
And so it's like they, and it's so much fun. You think you're going to be like, the first time I went, I was like, this is going to be the saddest thing I've done in my life.
Yeah.
But you almost forget about that. Like, these kids are in such good spirits. It's amazing, like, their resilience and how they just forget what they're going through.
That's
it's so awesome to see. And
yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah, they want to go on roller coasters, and I'm like, no. But it's fun.
We had one of our students at the dance studio. Her brother has a severe heart defect since he was born, and he actually got to go on one of the trips, and he is now in line to get a heart transplant.
Mm. Wow.
But they are also doing exactly what you say. Like, they live their life and they make the best of it. And you think you can't be around him. And it's every time it's so inspiring. I'm always like, my goodness, how do you guys do this?
You
it's unbelievable.
You think it's going to be depressing? And then it's like some of the
they
best
times. They teach you, right?
Oh.
It's unbelievable.
You're like, so nice what you do. I'm like, I don't do anything. Like, these kids are the ones who do it all. And then when you go around them, you're like, you want to talk about getting a life check quick.
Right.
I'm complaining about traffic, and these kids are dealing with, like, you know, cystic fibrosis and cancer, and I'm like...
It always puts it in perspective.
Yeah, I'm going to shut the hell up about this.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
So this is funny. I have to... Because we have so much bad stuff with our dance studio all the time, like, so much crap, and dance moms, and giving us a hard time about everything.
Really?
I mean, that's why we don't have it anymore. Couldn't handle it.
Trump.
But
women and their children, you can't imagine.
I mean, I can't imagine that, but I haven't seen that. I've only watched like some of this stuff on shows, but I know,
well,
like,
it's not wrong. It happens.
Wow,
it's
really?
Worse in it's real worse. Life.
What do they get so mad about?
It's my question.
You know, are they mad about like their parent, like their kids aren't?
Well, I think it starts with, I think when you do that, like when you attack people like that they did with us, I think there's something else, right? Like
something else brewing.
Happening. Then you come, and we always call it like the mama bear, papa bear thing. I'm like, I know that you all love your kids the most, and you don't want anyone to hurt your kids. And so when that happens, but yeah, if they're not in the front, or if they're not in the star, or they're not whatever, or they get invested in your life, and then they have to talk shit about that, and then they're always there, they're screaming, they're yelling over a costume, like, it gets so intense, and you're like, holy shit.
Wow.
Like, it's bad. Breathe. Yeah.
You can't do anything right.
Nothing.
But I wish so much that during that time I had seen this. This would have changed our whole life.
It?
How he reacts to criticism. It's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, I need to learn this anyway.
You did something. Tell us a little bit what happened there. Something with the Ebola thing, and then you got criticized, and then you did a video of getting a clue. A clue.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I get, you know, listen, and I don't even do a controversial show, and I'll say, you're never going to do anything right. No. So I've learned a long time ago to, like, you know, just kind of take in stride. I know I'm not going to please everybody. First of all, I'll always say this about any kind of radio or audio, you know, topic. The indifference kills personality radio. So, like, if you're indifferent about something and you try to play the middle, like, nobody cares. I don't want to listen to it. So many DJs or talk personalities out here be like, I want to be politically correct. I don't want to make anybody mad. And I'm like, and I don't want to listen. You know? So I'm like, I want to hear something. Be you. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I will say things. I forget what I even said to get them mad. Something about Ebola? I can't believe it. Now I'm mad at myself. What'd I say about
that? I don't know. Something. Wait.
Don't touch your friends.
I remember this. Yeah,
don't
I did
touch
something.
Your friends.
I said something, but I got criticized about making it a joke.
Really bad. Yeah.
Really bad.
And so he then is catching a clue, and he's like, I can't catch a clue.
Yeah.
So like,
the person told me to catch a clue, and then I tried to go on. I was reading the email. And then I got on the video, and I was trying to catch imaginary clues, and I couldn't. They're so hard to catch, apparently. So I was like, okay, I give up. And I read it. I read a lot of the like bad emails on, but sometimes I will say, I'll get an email, and I'm like, you know what? They're right. I was kind of like, I handled that the wrong way.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes. So I'm like, you know, I remember one time recently, somebody said something about my female co-host for the morning show that I do. They were like, you said something to her and that was kind of rude. And I'm like, let me go back and listen. Mm-hmm. And I went back and listened. And I was like, yeah, it was kind of rude. So I went back and apologized to her the next morning. She goes, what for what? And I was like, I guess I said something. Now I listen back and I wrote, I'm like, you know, you're actually right. And so sorry again. But she was like, I wasn't even mad. I'm like, well, I realized that I said it. And it was like, it was kind of bullyish. Whatever I said, I remember going, I wouldn't have said that again. But I think I was frustrated with her for something else. I was just pissed off and I said something. And I was like, that was dumb. But you just deal with it.
I need to learn that.
But it's really smart how you do it. Like, either you realize you apologize, it's worth to apologize for, or it's so dumb or that you make fun of it.
Like, you make fun of it, or realize, like, if it's something so outlandish, you can't reason with unreasonable people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, you're not.
And then I start crying.
Yeah, then you become miserable, too. You know, because you're like, people just want to hate you sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's like, just hate me.
Yeah.
Just move along. We'll be okay.
Keep hating
me. Yeah, just keep hating me. I wish you nothing but the best. I got your emails, so I'll keep getting them. I'll keep reading them. And you develop, like, thick skin.
Yeah.
But I would say back in the day, I would read something, like, in the paper. I remember when I first came here, they were telling me, like, one newspaper article told me not to unpack my bags. And, like, you'll be gone. Like, this kid should not unpack his bags. He'll be gone. And, like, a radio stupid magazine.
Oh.
And I want to say it was, like, it might have been Fort Worth. Maybe Star Telegram. I don't know. But one of their radio columns was really mean. And I clipped it out. And I was like, stupid son of a, you know. And I put it up there by my studio every day so I could watch it. And then, like, 20 years later, I was like, yeah, I'll unpack my bags. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'll do it today.
I'm like, yeah, I think I'll finally do that. I'll get around to it.
That's awesome. I want to know how your morning show started. Like, whose idea was it? Did you get approached? Was it your idea? How did that happen? Was that had to be so exciting.
It was. Yeah, it's fun. I mean, doing mornings is different than any other, you know, kind of day part on a radio station because you get to talk more. You're kind of like the anchor of the radio station. I didn't know if I ever wanted to do it because I just don't know. You know, I just didn't know if I wanted that kind of, like, it's a lot of responsibility. And then, you know, being around Kid, and I realized I was around him a lot and he taught me a lot, I was like, I think I want to do it. I just don't know how I want to do it. And I got approached many times to move.
You did.
I mean, I went to other cities before, and even though I do other cities, I don't have to move there. But I moved to New York for a little while and was on the radio there, and I loved it. But eventually I came back because it just didn't feel right. And I knew just Texas is, like, where I want to be. And then when they approached me on this, they were like, you know, I don't want to move because I want to be close to Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, we want to do a morning show, you can put the cast together, you can do it. We'll put you on in Austin and, you know, maybe syndicate you and do everything from there or from here, there, wherever you want to be. And I was like, man, I don't know if it gets much better than that when you can have, like, control, because it's rare that you're put in a room with a bunch of people you don't usually get that. So I was like, okay. So I got to pick, you know, the people I liked and...
So
I'll split my time in between Dallas, Austin. I'll go back and forth a lot.
Yeah,
so.
I asked him. I was like, "What? It's always in Austin."
And I'm like, "But then you're always here too."
I'm here a lot. Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, I can do it from anywhere. So thankfully I can do the show from anywhere. I mean, I could do it from my house, a hotel room. People don't even know. So we have it worked out to where it's like
with your phone mic. Or
not the phone. Oh, no. I wish. I'll do it from my car. No, so typically what all we do is something like, it's called it's nerdy talk, but it's just a Comrex box to where it's like an internet connection to where you can't even tell that I'm not in the same room as everyone else or they're not in the same room as me.
Oh, wow.
So before you like, and then I Skype them on all these screens and then I can tap into their computer on a VPN.
Oh my God.
So then I can control the radio station from my laptop and I'm just you know. From wherever.
So how does it work when you play all these tricks on Pooh?
Well, he's usually always with me. He's stuck with me.
So that was a blonde moment, obviously.
Well,
together.
Most of the time he's with me.
Yeah, he's always with me. So he's like my guy. So if I have to go to wherever, he's going with me.
Where is he
I
now?
Need my Pooh.
Where is he now?
He went to pick his kids up, I think. It was like the first day of school. He should have came next time. But he's always usually with me no matter what. So...
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Pooh
he's
has
over
that like, I don't even know what to call it.
He's
that.
Got
the neck.
The neck rolls, yeah. They're famous. They got an Instagram and
everything. Oh my God, yes. And what he does to them, he puts like the what's that called? That spray where you clean the keyboards?
You know, the duster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because he's got the little rolls and he loves them and we love them too and they're part of him. So, you know, we'll dust them out, you know, just to make sure they're clean, or we put the ATM, the card, the credit card through them to see if we get money.
Oh my God.
Swipe them.
That's so funny.
The rolls have their own Instagram and I forget what it is, but we made it. And so like people will come up to us in Austin and they'll be like, oh, people come up like from, they'll be like, yo, can I take a picture with the rolls? I'm like, sure.
Oh, of course, Austin.
Yeah, they love it.
That's
true.
They're like, I love Austin, though.
I do.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's weird, but I love it.
It's different, yeah. But it's cool. They love them.
And the funny thing is he's always tricking him to get him to do anything with food.
Oh, that's his motive. I mean, that's his goal. If you want to do something,
the
bribe
blue
him.
Bonnet thing is so funny, too. He's like, they're in the car together, and Billy's like, hey, the blue bonnet's out. I want to take a picture. He's like, I am not taking a picture of the blue bonnet. He goes, tacos.
Did he do it?
Next thing you know, you see him jumping in the blue
bonnet.
He's
like taking pictures. I like putting him in like weird positions and uncovered. We've always done that with each other over the years. Like he'll get me, I'll get him. And, you know, but he's a friend that, you know, matter what, he is there. But I mean, that poor guy, I've had him do things that I'm just like, but he loves it. Don't let him fool you.
I can tell he loves it.
I think you both love it a lot.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We wouldn't know what to do without each other.
Right.
I drive him crazy. He drives me crazy, but he's a trip. Yeah, he's funny.
Oh. They did a, what's the challenge you did with that went viral with the Kia thing?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So we did this contest where I was giving away, we were giving away a Kia, a car, and it was called Kiss a Kia. So we put like 10
I
people.
Remember this.
Yeah.
It was, we put 20. Like 20 people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know the contest better than I do. And they had to kiss it for as long as they could, and whoever removed their lips from it lost, so they'd get kicked off. It went so viral, which is so funny to me because, I mean, I've done that contest before and nothing happened. And then I did it this time, and for whatever reason, it just like hit and took off. And
wow. How long? All over national news.
Oh, like Conan O'Brien was talking about us. So we were on Good Morning America, and
I was
just like, this is not real life. Like, we were all over the news, and it was so funny. And randomly, I put poo in a giraffe. This was when April the giraffe was pregnant. If you remember the giraffe.
Yes.
That dumbass giraffe.
Oh, yeah.
For like 3 years, she was pregnant. Yeah. You think you girls got it bad. The giraffes were pregnant for like 7 years. So they were like, oh, okay. So Megan Trainor had like these giraffe onesies that she gave us. And it was laying in my car, and I was like, dude, you should put this on. And like when I'm doing Good Morning America, just sit in the background in a giraffe onesie.
I need to see this.
You got to see it. So Robin Roberts and Michael Strahan are talking to me via satellite, you know, on TV, and I'm like,
people kissing the car still.
So people are still kissing the car, and I'm there, and then you see poo in the background, a giraffe out there, and Robin Roberts, and I just said, just sit back there, don't say anything. But they're gonna see you, and they have to talk about you,
yeah.
Or otherwise, they're gonna look crazy if they don't. So he's sitting back there, and then Robin goes, "Wait, Billy, I'm sorry, is that a giraffe behind you?" And I go, "Oh yeah, that's April's baby daddy." And she like starts cracking up, she's dying laughing, and then. It was just the perfect timing. Poo doesn't know, and the camera zooms into him on like national TV, and he's in a giraffe outfit, and he dabs for whatever reason.
Oh my gosh!
It was the funniest thing ever, and like Conan O'Brien was talking about him. All the shows.
I have got to go find
this. I know.
That's awesome.
Ridiculous.
So how long did someone kiss the Kia? Yeah.
So we ended up having to cut it off because our lawyers were like, "Dude, you guys are going to get sued
for fainting."
Yeah, for like people dying.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's a problem. So they came in and they're like, I think the cutoff was like 36 hours.
Oh my God.
So we thought after 36 hours that people would be like,
tired.
Done. But there was still like 10 people left. So we ended up.
Stop it.
Yeah, it sucked. So, you know, at the end of it, I was like, well, what do we do? And then like lawyers. I told Kia, like, you know, we've gotten you all these millions of video hits.
Yeah.
Kias aren't that expensive. Just give everyone a Kia. Right.
Yeah.
There was like 8 people left in the car, and they were like, well, let me see what's going on. I was like, oh, my God. So we ended up having to draw for it after like all that time.
Legal
reasons we had to draw. So like one person won. The other people were so pissed.
I bet.
Rightfully so. I felt bad, but I was like, okay, good night. I'm leaving. Yeah, I'm
tired. Not my fault.
But yeah.
You can have this giraffe onesie.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you want a giraffe onesie as your consolation prize. Like, screw you. I'm like, bye. Pooh will take care of all the complaints. There. But yeah, so, I mean, it was fun, but I couldn't believe that went so viral.
I know this doesn't fit right now, but the plane landed safely.
Safely. I keep seeing that pop up.
Post Malone's alive.
Yeah, I was
God. It says Post Malone's plane lands safely after emergency, and he says he needs alcohol.
I can't believe he didn't have alcohol.
Yeah, he's probably pissed.
Oh my God. I would never want to get on another flight again.
No kidding.
No, yeah.
No, good thing he's okay.
I know, thank God.
Oh, I think he goes, I need some booze now. He's like smiling and stuff.
Yeah, he don't care. He's so happy.
Yeah, he's great.
Good for him.
Yeah, that's great.
So one more story. I saw you guys laying on the lawn in like the freezing rain one time. What was that about?
Oh my gosh. Were we sober? Oh yeah. No. Were we sober? Oh, okay. So that was a charity I work with called LifeWorks. So LifeWorks is an organization that helps young homeless or people transitioning out of, let's say, the government system. Like, say they were in, you know, foster care their entire life or whatever. And then it sucks. You know, you're 18 and you're like, good luck.
Yeah.
And they've been transferred around, you know. So they help people transition or homeless people transition to get jobs. And it's an awesome organization.
Oh, that's cool.
So they did a challenge where they were like, will you be homeless with some of the kids? And I was like, sure. It happens to be like the one time in Austin it's like 30 degrees and snowing. And I was like, all right, like, you know, it is what it is. So we slept outside and did, and they would wake us up every few hours to move, like they do home, like people get pissed at homeless people and they're like, move, get off my, you know, get off my. So they would wake us up, and so we stayed. It was actually one of the most powerful things. I've done a lot of crazy stuff on the radio. I mean, I've lived on billboards, I've lived in malls.
Oh my gosh.
I've done all this crazy stuff, but that was like life-changing, eye-opening, like, wow.
What they go through.
What they have to go through. And like the stuff that they deal with, where you look at someone who's homeless and you're like, get a job. You know, you're like, it's not, you don't know their story. And then once you learn their stories, it's like, this kid didn't have a chance. Like,
right.
This kid was like seven years old and put into foster care and then bounced around. And some of them were abused in different homes. And then they're like 17, they've not been in school and they can't get back on their feet. So it was cool to be a part of. To like, they actually made a documentary about it. And so that's coming out next month. And,
oh, really? Wow. That's very cool.
So they're going to put in like Alamo Draft House, I think. And
really?
A couple other theaters. So where they just kind of follow everybody around and they document us doing the challenge. And we're doing it again this year. So
that's very cool. Because while I was in LA, I talked about how many homeless there are and how it's all overpowering and like so hard to help. And then I saw what you said about that some of the homeless people see your car downtown and they wait for you.
Oh my God.
They know you take care of them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. At the clubs I used to, especially when I would DJ a lot, they would like wait. They'd see my car, they'd wait outside and be like, hey, because they know I'd give them money and I'd take them places sometimes. I'm like, that probably wasn't the smartest thing. Like, get my car, random homeless guy. Let's go to McDonald's. Yeah.
I've given rides to strangers.
So have I.
Gino doesn't approve, but
rightfully so. I get where he's coming from.
I'm like,
from.
Dangerous.
It is dangerous, but it's, you know, I mean.
They're really nice, usually.
Yeah, I gave them shoes before. Yeah, they're always nice. Yeah. One guy stole something for me, and I was like,
stole something for you?
Yeah, he's like, he would always come around, and I'd be like, you know, I'd give him money, a couple bucks for food. Or I went to my bottom of my hotel room because it was like freezing, and He I guess I said I bought a new house, and he goes, I got a game room, and he goes, the next week he showed up, and he had this big like metal sign with a bunch of football teams on it, and he goes, man, I stole this from down the street for you. And I was like, don't steal anything for me anymore. Appreciate the thought. Take this back, and we're good. And he's like, oh, okay. I'm like, yeah, don't steal.
That's funny.
Yeah. Oh. But I think it's more dangerous for Whitley to pick up homeless people.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah,
for a girl.
Yeah.
Well, one of our friends that passed away last year, we talk about him, but he did the same as you. Always wanted to help homeless people, Keith. Yeah. And he had a homeless challenge one night, like where he brought them home, put them in a suit, cleaned them up, took a shower, gave them a challenge, like to go get a job and come around again. Like this was a thing that they did after the club. It's very, very cool.
I kind of love it.
Yeah, that's really. And then we saw pictures of this skinny guy in the suit that was too big for him, but still so cute.
I love that. I remember one time at Have a Nice Day Cafe, or one of the places I thought
we met.
There was a guy in poor Pooh was driving my car around me because I was drinking. And he was like, so we got out the club and I had no cash. I mean, this guy was like, man, do you have anything? And I was like, let me look, because I used to keep a bag in my car of old clothes to give, you know, and I was like, man, I have nothing. I went to the mall that day and I bought a pair of like white Nikes. And I remember looking and going to close my trunk, like, I'm not giving them my damn shoes. I just bought them. And I was like, a lot of alcohol. I was like, you know what? Who cares? So I go, what size shoe do you wear? And he was like 11. I was like, dude, here. And I gave him
brand new shoes.
And he freaked out. I was like, there you go. And I woke up the next day, I'm an idiot, man. So I went to work, or I had to DJ that club the next few days later. And I was pulling up, and I'm pulling up, and this guy has this spot that I usually park in because he knows when I get there, blocked off. And all I see is like this dirty homeless guy with these white shoes on. And I was like, there he is. And he would keep them so clean. And he would tell me he would hide them at night. He goes, I hide my shoes at night because I fall asleep under the bridge, but they'll steal them. So I hide them, like I sleep on them so they don't steal them. I'm like, dude.
That's so special. But it like made his whole like life.
Yeah, and I was like, what's $100 at the end of the day when it was like making a difference like that?
That's so awesome.
It's cool to do. It's fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good for you, Billy. That's so great.
Yeah.
Tell us what you're doing with this restaurant. We need to know about this.
Yeah,
so everyone can go there.
One of my good friends is a guy named Emil, who's a really smart guy, and he's owned a lot of clubs and restaurants. He owns, he owned Dolce back in the day. I don't know if you remember that, downtown, and Reservoir in Fort Worth, and Whiskey Garden in Fort Worth, and he's got a couple other projects opening up, and I went in as part owner for a club or a bar / the Reservoir concept in Fort Worth in Las Colinas by Toyota Music Factory.
Nice.
So if all goes well, we'll be opening that in a couple, probably mid-November, hopefully.
That's soon.
And I don't know what I'm doing, but he's very smart and I trust him. And so, we're with the Music Factory being next to it, hopefully, and we have a stage outside.
It could be huge.
Yeah, it could be good. So we're going to, I'm excited because he's super smart when it comes to this business.
Restaurants.
I know about music.
If he has a successful one, then that's good.
Yeah, he's got a couple and he's done very well over the years. So I'm excited about it. Yeah,
it's a whole different animal.
Toyota thing is like huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gigantic, and they do so well, and they're aggressively booking more acts. So I mean, hopefully it's going to go well.
It should be great.
It'll go great.
Yeah,
say it.
It's going to go good.
Yeah, it'll be amazing.
Yeah,
we'll come to the opening.
Yeah,
invite us,
please. I hope so. Yeah, for sure.
And I want to thank you again, and I have to because I was told to. I have to be persistent and ask you one more time. If Jolie can meet Selena Gomez,
we're going to make it happen.
Someday.
Somehow, when we get her and I get her, if she comes to the station, we'll make sure that she comes and we'll.
Because if I didn't say it again, I'd be in trouble.
Listen, I know. That's the cutest thing ever. Oh, I get it. I was like that when it came to certain people, but I didn't have access to do it. So if we can make it happen, if she comes to the station or somewhere in town, we'll make it happen.
She'll be so excited.
Or you could buy her Fort Worth house, and I'm sure she'd meet you. It's only $2.7 million right now. It's on
big deal. Okay.
Yeah, just drop that cash, and she'll be like, it's a meet and greet. But I'd love to see that kind of stuff happen. So, she's the sweetest. I haven't seen her in years, but she's the sweetest little girl.
And Jolie is one that, like, when it's something like that's that special, like, you know, like when you give someone something and their reaction is like, thanks. Her reaction is one that like everyone starts crying. She's like so genuinely like it's coming. Like happy. She can't control it. She's like sobbing and we're like, please don't throw up because her anxiety makes her like throw up. I'm like, she's so going to get engaged one day and be like,
Yo, that's even better when that happens when you see somebody that excited. So.
Yeah.
I mean, Selena's one of the nicest humans on earth. So if we can, hopefully we'll have her for like, I don't know, but we've had her for Jingle Ball in the past and we're working on that now. So if that happens and that would be an opportunity, I'm probably speaking way too soon, but some way, somehow we'll make it happen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This was fun.
Anytime.
Appreciate it. Social media. I mean, social handles. Please,
@Billy on the radio. You can see me torture poo. See him dress up as a giraffe.
Please
whatever we
watch
do.
It.
Yeah, that's on Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. So yeah, check us out there.
The Good Morning Show and then the restaurant. Keep up with it.
Yeah. Reservoir in Las Colinas. So that should be cool. And if it's not cool, then I'm sorry.
It will be cool.
Yeah, I'll need another job.
We're going to be there, so let's
Then it'll be fine. Yeah, you guys can do the podcast from there.
Yeah, we can do a remote one.
Yeah, let's do it. There we go. Perfect.
Thank you, Billy,
so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
If you enjoy our show, please take a moment to leave us a review and please subscribe so you will always be the first to know of the newest episodes. And please check out our website, tuposhboutique.com, and all our social media handles. Marcella?
You can find me on all social media at Marcella Ranieri. I think on Facebook, it's Marcella.Ranieri, but everywhere else, I didn't get very creative. So just MarcellaRaneri.
With Lee?
I think all of my handles, like Snapchat, Instagram, everything, Twitter, is Langford7Wit, and it's LANGFORD, the number 7, and then WHIT.
And mine is Gabby Talks, and the rest of it is all Tuposh. They all stole all my social media and made it all into Tuposh, which is fine.
But T-O-O-P-O-S-H. Because some people don't understand.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. T-O-O-P-O-S-H. Boutique, B-O-U-T-I-Q-U-E is our website, and it is Tuposh Boutique on Instagram as well, on Twitter, Snapchat, and everything. And my Instagram is Gabby Talks, and on Facebook I'm Gabrielle
Gilmore
Kindler. My maiden name. So everyone,
have a sparkly day.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.